Some of them are still married and they're miserable. And unfortunately, I've had people I've married that have ended in divorce. Marriage is hard work. Come on, somebody. It is tough work. Some don't work hard at it, right? You got some that think, well, I do all the work and they do nothing, you know? And then you have so many that don't survive just the first few years. They don't survive. Celebrating a 15th or even a 25th wedding anniversary is rare these days, is it not? So if you've been married 25 plus years, would you raise your hand? Come on, look at that. You. Who can't wait to get there? Yes, amen. So can I. You see, divorce rates, as we have all heard, are amongst Christians are as high as those that are non-believers. There's not a big separation there. We have allowed the postmodern mindset to convince our churches and our couples that divorce is now acceptable rather than the exception. Would you agree? We now justify divorce as a solution. And I'm going to tell you today may get uncomfortable, but jump into it and let's be uncomfortable together, because divorce is not God's solution. It is not. God allows divorce under specific and limited biblical terms. Yes. All right. And he allows it because of the sinfulness and the hardness of man's heart. All right, that's where it's at. And you see, when marriage is no longer compatible with the age needs to change. The age needs to change, not the institution of marriage. And so maybe today you are at a point of giving up on your marriage. Maybe no one else knows it, but you have those thoughts every single day. Or maybe someone has already given up on you. You may be living with the sting of divorce, burned by an unfaithful spouse. And I'm sorry for that. I really am. And I pray that you grow as a result of it, that you become stronger and you don't let it define you, but that you step into the growing lessons that God has in store for you. You see, maybe some of you today are under the same roof with your spouse, but it's just a house and not a home, just roommates. How do you survive? How do you restore the love that you once had? How do you experience those butterflies once again? My wife had butterflies last night. I did something real special for her, and she told me about the flutters. All right, I'll move on. So how do you prevent your marriage from crumbling beneath the pressure? How do you make the choice to never leave your partner behind, especially in a fire? When a couple is going through a time of conflict, you see what happens, and we all see this and we know this, and a lot of us have experienced this, emotions start to escalate. Soon you have anger, and then you have the frustration that comes with the anger, and then you have the emotions that are out of control, and then you have the root of bitterness that begins to grow. Concerns become complaints. Complaints become threats, and then threats lead to disaster. And my heart breaks today for marriages in our country, for marriages in our churches, for marriages in this church that I believe put on a good frontal facade. When at home, they're falling apart, there's disaster, and I want to believe that we can change the course of those marriages together, corporately, by depending on the power of the only one that can bring restoration, the only one that can bring that marriage, those two people that committed to each other as they committed to God, back to a place where they experienced the butterflies. Who's with me? Who believes in that with me? Who is joining that vision of believing that we're going to start seeing that Cove Church is a place where we see marriages restored? Come on. Anybody with me? Anybody join in that effort? Well, you see, The church has to help lead the way to change in our society when it comes to healthy biblical marriage. You see, one Hollywood couple's marriage lasted 15 days, right? Actually, there's several that are like that. Any couple married more than 10 years in Hollywood is considered a rarity, and they become America's couple, right? They've been married 10 years. Holy moly. Wow. We need to follow their example. What are they doing? You know? And now the church is following Hollywood's lead, and marriages don't last. Instead, couples say, as long as our love shall last, in place of till death do us part. The church has to help lead the way. We've got to set the tone. We've got to change the course. We've got to begin living legacies, developing those legacies that pay out in the future when we're gone. Amen? And marriages today are to exist for God's glory. That's why they exist. And we've got to get this right, because marriages are existing for so many other reasons. And the biggest problem in marriage is one big honking thing: sin. Would you agree, in any relationship that you're in, the areas that you're battling, the areas that people are throwing uppercuts and drop kicks and cornbread, is because of sin? Would you agree? There's no other reason, is there? Selfishness? Well, guess what? Selfishness is sin. It's sin. The solution is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the solution. Marriage is the union of two sinners, two people that are bringing a whole lot of baggage together, two people that are sinners. They've done things their own way. And now, instead of doing this, we need to help them do this, no matter how long they've been coexisting together. That they begin to celebrate one another's differences and see that God has something radical in store for each and every relationship. Amen? I'm passionate about this. I'm going to get really, really fired up probably today. I don't know what this is going to say, but I know what this is going to say. And I hope that you'll be receiving of that, and that you've got some fertile ground ready to receive God's word today. Are you ready to receive God's word today? Yeah. All right. Well, Ephesians, I'm not convinced yet. Maybe halfway through I might be convinced. But Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 is the passage that we are going to find a foundation that will pave the way for us to have grace-filled marriages. So stand with me, and let's proudly together read God's word. Starting with verse 22. This is a verse a lot of people want to skip. they don't want to hear this. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Continue with verse 29. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. You may be seated. Now, before I can go on any further, guess what? We've got to deal with the big honking fat elephant in the room, don't we? Right? What is that? Somebody shout it out. What? Well, I don't understand that word. That's a word that my ears as a man don't quite understand. Can you say that a little louder? Submission. Right. Submission. No, I'm just kidding. So, because that is a word that we don't like to discuss, a word that has been battered and beaten up and misunderstood and misdisplayed, and we have to get a greater understanding before we can even go any further into these elements that are going to improve our marriage, that changes can take place in our marriage. First, we got to understand this word. We can't just hear that and then read on. Please do, Ryan. If you put enough money up here, I might consider it. I'll give you 5 seconds to drop a few 20s up here before I'll move on. All right, so what does godly submission mean for a wife? And it's so funny. Somebody texted me yesterday and said that I just want to make sure, you know, most marriage sermons I hear is just all about the man. It's all about the man. It's just beating us up and telling us how horrible we are and how lack of leadership in our home and all that mess. And so I said, well, do you have anything to be concerned about? No, I didn't say that. But I assured him that we were not going that direction, that it was going to go in a direction I believe that really needed to raise the church's awareness. And so first, what we see that submission means for the wives is not abuse. It's not caveman mentality. First, it means gracious as to the Lord. You see, Paul doesn't use the word obey, right? He reserves that for children. Children, obey your parents. For wives, that he says, submit to your husband. And so there's a lot of difference there. So right off the bat, we see that a lot of believing husbands, because this passage is for those that are following Jesus, all right, as to the Lord. All right, that's what this is saying, as to the Lord. For marriages that are Christian marriages, for spouses that say, I love Jesus, because here's the thing, obey and submit are different. He's talking about a grace that doesn't come naturally for the human. A grace, this is just saturated with grace. This word is saturated with grace. You see, we think of ourselves first so often in our marriages, in our relationships, in our society, and then begrudgingly we give to others that are without Christ. And so oftentimes what we see is that this word is applied in a very selfish manner, all right? But with Christ, hear this, with Christ, the wife has a different viewpoint. With Christ, the wife is to have a different perspective. Her life has been touched by grace. Amen? And so therefore wants to touch the life of her husband with grace. That's a better understanding of submission, is that it's a gracious submission. But also it means partnership. As it says, head of the wife. You see, in Genesis, God said that he wanted to make a suitable helper for Adam. And the partnership design is clear in Scripture, is it not? Ladies, how do you seek the benefit of your husband? How do you seek the benefit of your husband is the most beautiful pattern is found in Proverbs 31. I love Proverbs 31. I could plaster that on my wife's forehead. Proverbs 31, woman all the way. She's amazing. In verse 10, we see that a Proverbs 31 woman is of good character. I want to note today that that's rare, that you find many women of good character. I'm not talking to the men yet. Your turn soon. All right? Of good character. But also in verse 13 through 21, it talks about that a Proverbs 31 is one that is of good stewardship. She stewards not just family, but she stewards her relationships well. She stewards her children well. She stewards her possessions well. And that is a direct connection to a woman of good character, but also a woman of good speech. Because us men know that the thunder and lightning can be experienced through the tongue. Amen? Of course, a man said that. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 2 tells us the greatest benefit of submission. It says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. the lifestyle of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of their lives. You see, so it's partnership, it's being gracious, but also it's being complete. Complete in everything. There's only one exception to the command of complete submission, and that is disobedience to the will of God. It means husbands are to give themselves completely to and for their wives. You see, submission is a it has mutual elements to it. It's not just caveman mentality, you know, with a big club beating the wives over the head. Say, hey, woman, get me a sandwich. You know, and while you're at it, take your shoes off because you're supposed to be barefoot and you better put your apron on and stay in the kitchen. That's not what submission is it? You see, to put it in a nutshell, a wife is called by God to be submitted to her husband. That doesn't mean that you are less intelligent or capable, ladies. That's not what that means. It means that husbands and wives were created to be equal, but with complementary roles. And he lovingly, sacrificially, and humbly leads like Christ. That's the role of the husband, as it says in Ephesians 5:25. And for the wife, she is to respectfully submit like Christ, as it says in Luke 22:42. You see, the reality is that wives are instructed to be submitted to their husbands as to the Lord. That means very plainly that a wife cannot be, I want you to catch this, a wife cannot be fully submitted to God and not submitted to her husband as the spiritual leader of the home. Now, I get it. The biblical portrait of a biblical wife is one who, in her submission to God, submits to her husband's authority. So what if you have an unbelieving husband? What if you have a husband that is not following the lifestyle of living? Well, that's a whole nother story, all right? That's a whole nother dimension, but you still have responsibility to him to follow in the commitment that you made to him on the altar that day of marriage, amen? You are responsible for you, not their actions. And so you still have that biblical role to try to uphold, but within reason of understanding his role as well. And so submission doesn't mean that you're a slave to your husband. That's not what it means. It simply means he is to lead in the relationship and the family as Christ leads the church. Amen? And so the way that plays out for Brittany and I, there's a monster decision that has to be made in our home. And so what do? Do I just, this is what we're doing, woman, shut your mouth and go bake something. Get over it. No, we join together and we pray over that decision together. And my wife looks at me and says, I trust you as a spiritual leader of our home, that no matter what my opinion might be, that you're going to make the decision that's best for our family. And I'm going to submit to that. And I'm going to trust his leadership in your life. That's what that looks like. And that's how that plays out. And guess what? A husband who is following Jesus is not going to go to his wife and say, this is what we're doing. I don't care what you think. No. Hey, babe, man, I so appreciate your input. Your input helped me to know how to pray. Your input helped me to know some of the pieces that I hadn't thought about. And God used you to communicate some of the puzzle pieces that need to be put together for this decision. So even though I'm going this way, you still have such strong input to help me to land on this decision. And then it's not, you know, bitterness over that decision. It's a unified effort in understanding the two roles. You understand what I'm saying? That was quiet. So it's not to be abused by the husband like that caveman mentality that I was talking about. It is God's grace that changes people. It's God's grace that changes people. It's God's grace that has changed you. All right, and you'll notice the commands here are followed with just as Christ loved the church or as to the Lord. And so Christ is our example in our marriages. Amen? All right, so often our marriages look at, well, he wasn't married, so we can't use Jesus as an example. Whoa! He didn't understand marriage. You know? You know, he could have gotten married because every woman was just chafing at the bitch to marry Jesus. Christ is our example. So that's how we can continue with three practical ways to show grace to your spouse. Because I'm gonna shoot very straight with you today. These things are seen in public as well. But even more importantly, the way you are in the home is going to play out in public. Whether you see it or not, and how, no matter how well of a facade you put on. And what's most important is that we understand that our greatest legacy, and men, I want you to hear my heart again for you. Your legacy is not in your business. Your greatest legacy is not in how successful you are. It's not. You're not going to take any of that with you and stand before Jesus and be like, yeah, but what you got, Jesus? You know what I did. You know how successful I was. You see how many pay increases I got, how many promotions I got. Your greatest legacy, your number one legacy for both spouses, not just the men, is going to be these very things that I'm talking about and how they are applied in your home and in public. And not just in your home, in public, that you are unashamed of the love that you have for Jesus, but also that in public you are unashamed of the love you have for your spouse. And so that leads me to these three practical ways to show grace to your spouse, because my heart is hurting. My heart hurts for families. My heart hurts for children. And no matter what your dynamics are, these can be applied. And the first one is that we serve. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, serving each other with no strings attached, 100% striving to outserve the other person, no matter how tired you are, no matter how much they may reject it, that you're serving not just the husbands, but the wives as well. Don't serve your spouse because he or she did something for you or didn't make you mad today. You didn't make me mad today, so guess what? I'm going to bless you today. I'm going to serve you, all right? See that dish? I'll put it in the dishwasher. Serve because you want to be more like Jesus. You walk into your home every day wanting to be more like Jesus to your kids, wanting to be more like Jesus to your spouse, wanting to be more like Jesus to your neighbors, to the cashier, to the waitresses. Understand that you, as a follower of Jesus, are the fountains of grace that this community needs to see and experience. And it starts in your home. It shouldn't be the last place or the least place that is happening. How many conversations do marriages have that you give all of yourself to them? You give all of yourself to that group of people. You give all of yourself to your workplace. And then you come home, what do I get? Crumbs, leftovers. How many of you have heard that before? I am not dare raising my hand. Liars, liars. You see, serving moves our focus from ourselves and makes our spouse feel appreciated. Serve each other in little ways, unexpected gestures. Be thoughtful. Think of them. Think of what makes them smile. You know, express your love in non-physical ways. Show your appreciation for him or for her. Sacrifice and do without. Do without in order to provide his or her needs and desires. I see so many marriages that the man or the wife has so many hobbies and so many things that they do for themselves and so much pampering that may happen to one or the other. And then the other spouse is left with just paying for it. Or just with no hobbies. Understand balance. And understand all the, you know, I saw a title on one of the Grace Marriage that I follow on Facebook. It says, fishing trip or family investment? Ooh, that hurt. That hurt. How much do we invest in our hobbies and not invest in our families? And you don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to go on elaborate trips. You just spend time together, serving and loving one another. And husbands, listen, put her first. Put her first. Listen to me. Put her first. Put her needs before yours. But I'm tired. I work 12 hours a day. I come home. I just want to prop my feet up. Nothing wrong with her bringing me a beer, bringing me a soda, you know, making me my sandwich. That's what it's supposed to be like. No, man. Sacrifice 30 minutes and go discover what's going on in her day instead of just pouring out what's happened in your day. Give all that you are to her. Put her first, just like this couple. There was a couple on their 50th wedding anniversary. It summed up their long and happy marriage. And the husband said, I have tried never to be selfish. After all, there's no I in marriage. And the wife responded, well, for my part, I've never corrected my husband's spelling. And hey, it worked, right? It worked. So ladies, recognize his efforts. Recognize his efforts and never belittle his attempts at romance, because let's be honest, we stink at it. You leave it up to us to plan a date, and man, you might as well call the cavalry in to help that brother out, because go to dinner and a movie. I planned it. I bought the tickets. I'm paying for the dinner. You know, now, I get there's some men in here that have been rock stars at creating dates and experiences, and bless you for that. We'll do a forum, and you can teach the rest of us how to do that better. But here's the thing. If you shoot him down enough times, he's going to quit trying. Don't belittle your husband in public if he embarrasses you or says something you don't agree with. There's a role in submission there. I'm just letting it roll, letting it slide off, and to acknowledge, as we're going to be talking about in a moment, we all got our crazy quirks and differences, right? Show him love in ways that he can recognize, and that's not through a Hallmark card. I don't know a man that just loves Hallmark cards. Oh my gosh, here's a Hallmark card. I can't wait. Will it sing to me? No. Now, it could be the message that you put in that card that could mean a lot, yes. But you can write that on a piece of paper and leave it on the mirror. You know, leave it on the pillow. You know, just do different things that show love. And one thing that I encourage in marriage counseling is this, is that you ask the other how they want to be romanced. Don't just think, because your spiritual gift may be words of affirmation. And so you may go along to and be like, you're so awesome, you're so amazing, you're so hot, you know, all these different things. And they're just like, thank you. They appreciate it. But if that's not their love language, they're not going to be well receiving of that. And, you know, and I'm not going to go too far because of sensitive ears, but men are microwaves and ladies are crockpots, right? And so you got to communicate those differences and understand that the way that you think I want to be romance is not the way that I want to be romance. So start asking, okay, awkward, just doesn't feel like a manly thing today to do, but how do you want to be romanced? And she about to blow your mind. Really? That's all I have to do? You just want me to hold you? You just want me to hold you for 20 minutes? Really? And rub my hair. And not look at my phone? And not have the TV on? That's all I got to do? Wow. You know? And for the wife, it might be the husband that needs you to pick him up, because this world has been beating him down. And he may just need you to be his cheerleader. And then guess what? The crock pot and the microwave comes together in a more beautiful way than what was anticipated by the ingredients that were put in the two. You see what I'm saying? Y'all are like when I taught teenagers. Y'all snickering and laughing. You're like, he just said that. Listen, it's important. Serve one another. The second practical way is to forgive. I'm just being really just candid, just talking to you. I just want to talk to you today. Forgive. Forgive as God forgave. You see, we got to remember, you know, you remember how your mom made you apologize to a friend as a kid, right? And you didn't mean it. You didn't mean it. And you said, sorry, just to get your mom off your back. How often do we see that in our marriages? Sorry. Oh, that felt genuine. Sorry, forgive me. Oh, gosh. You know, and that, we've got to understand that true forgiveness flows out of love. You understand that you've hurt your best friend. You have hurt the person that you've committed to spend the rest of your life with, and that person has risen now above mama and daddy. It's risen above your kids, and they are the number one person in your life, your spouse. True forgiveness flows out of love, and your spouse doesn't deserve it, maybe, but did you? The last time you needed forgiveness? Did we deserve God's forgiveness? You see, reflecting on God's forgiveness makes it easier to forgive our spouses. So forgive. And the third very practical way is to protect. It's safety. Provide a safe place for your spouse. Yes, your spouse has habits that will irritate you. They are going to irritate you. How many of you are irritated? Okay, we can't ask questions like that today. You're irritated about where they put the towel. You're irritated that the underwear are hanging just on the edge of the hamper, right? You're irritated that he picks his feet while you're watching TV. You're irritated that, you know, all these, I could go on and on and on. I'm just listing all the things that irritate my wife about me, but they're okay. They're so small. They're minute. That your love for them to just be like, man, isn't he cute? Isn't that just, I need to get over my little petty ways and just let the underwear hang. It just doesn't take anything for me just to flip them over in there. I love him. Isn't his underwear so cute? You know, man, he picks his feet. I don't get it. It's like people chomping on popcorn in a movie, but I love him anyway. He's just picking his feet. It's not sin, is what I'm saying. We get so wrapped up in our little irritations, and we treat them like they're sin, right? They're going to disappoint you. They're going to have things that irritate you. Problems got to be dealt with to prevent real damage. You see, put more focus on your spouse's positives than his or her problems. Positive reinforcement in your home, just like it works so well with kids. Guess what? It works so well with your husband or your wife. Positive reinforcement. Instead of reminding him what he needs to do in that conversation or what he's about to do in the kitchen, stand back and see if he's going to do it, because he remembers the 25,000 other times you've nagged him to do it. And when he does it, have a celebration. Oh my gosh, run into the kitchen and jump into his arms and say, you are the man. Wow, you rinsed the dish before you put it in. Oh my word. Celebrate the good things that are in our spouses. Come home, men, and see that if you have a working spouse and all that she does when she gets home, or if she's a stay-at-home mom, or whatever the case may be, notice that you haven't had to dust in a very long time. Notice that there are clothes in your dresser drawer. Notice that your clothes are hung. And shout hallelujah for that. Who loves to do dishes and fold clothes and all those things? All the women are raising their hands. Okay, there's a couple men. Because you're serving the others while the men raise their hands, right? Right? Here's the point. I love just candid days like this. I don't know what the second service is going to think, but I'm just talking to you. Grace has the power to transform our marriages despite the obstacles that we create. Pray for God's direction as you forgive, as you serve, and as you provide a safe place for your spouse. Pray for their blessings to be experienced by His outpouring of grace upon your life. Pray for God to bless your husband or your wife. God wants our marriages to succeed and to reflect His grace. So as the band comes back up here in just a moment, I want us to really hone in on this. And as I said, this applies to all of you. If you're single and you're not married yet, this is what you should be striving to achieve by already activating it in your life, by serving other people, being a forgiving person, creating safe environments for your friends and your family by the way that you live your life. And if you're single, this is what you should be praying for. This is what you should be achieving in whoever your future spouse may be. And if you are divorced, and if you're still grieving and struggling through that, we want to be there for you. We want to love on you and let us know that you're still hurting, that you're still battling, that you didn't like to hear today's message because you're not able to experience it any longer because you remember experiencing it before. I believe God's still got a dynamic plan for you. But for the remainder of us that are married, I want to ask you today, how is your married? How is your married? How is your married life? How is your marriage? Do you need help? Does your marriage need help? Well, I'm going to encourage you, if your marriage needs help today, to start praying. Start praying. There's books out there, The Power of a Praying Husband and The Power of a Praying Wife. And number two, don't panic. Your emergency today will be acknowledged as, oh my goodness, tomorrow. How often do we respond inaccurately to the issue? Because it's a big deal in that moment. So don't panic. And third, acknowledge the problem to one another. Talk to each other. Communicate. Communicate however you can. And don't stop. Be relentless in your pursuit of healthy communication with your spouse. No matter how hard-headed they might be. And fourth, don't stop there, but start seeking help. Seek help. We can provide resources with you. There's some counseling that I do sometimes. See a counselor. Counseling is not a bad thing. There's a lot of you in here that have gone to counseling and experienced transformation as a result of it. Counseling is there for a reason. It's a beautiful thing. I went to counseling many years ago, and it helped me overcome some monster demons in my life. But seek help. And fifth, I want to challenge you today to stay committed. Stay committed to your commitment to God. And understand that when you are wanting to relieve yourself of the battles, relieve yourself of the pain, and relieve yourself of the turmoil that's in your home and in your marriage right now, that if you commit to God? Do you believe that God can deliver any man, any woman from the sin that they're in? Do you believe that restoration can be experienced and redemption can occur in your life, in your husband's life, in your wife's life, in your marriage, whatever it might be? Jump on board with me today and believe bigger. Start dreaming bigger for your marriage. Start living big in your marriage. Start today serving. Outserve your spouse. Start learning what it means to forgive and just forgive them. Every day you might have to do it. It's not a one time, I forgive you, and then we're clean. We're able to move forward. No, it's going to take time, but you keep forgiving them and understand God's forgiveness for you and create a safe place, because you've got to understand that as you leave a legacy in your home, and for a lot of you, there are kids that are watching. There are grandkids that are watching. There are nieces and nephews that are watching. And the example that you live by, the way that you love your spouse, is going to provide the greatest example for those kids when they grow up and get married. I want to have a marriage like my parents. I want to have a marriage like my grandparents. I want to have a marriage like that person. And I'm not going to settle. Too many teenagers are settling today because they don't have examples. They don't have examples to follow. And Cove Church is going to rise up. We're going to stand up and we're going to lead the way, that a younger generation can look at the marriages in Cove Church and say, that's the way to live. That's the way to stay pure. That's the way to be above reproach. I am committed to do whatever we need to do to see Cove Church be that. And if you agree with me, if you want to stand up and be a part of that vision and be a part of that legacy and be a part of that example, I want you to stand with me as we continue to worship. And if you need to commit your marriage, your future marriage, to the Lord, don't be ashamed. Bring your spouse up here. For some of you, you need to grab your spouse, fall on your knees, ask for his forgiveness for your role in your marriage, and then look your spouse dead in the eye and say, I love you. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I want to love you more. I want to love you greater. I want to serve you more. I know that I haven't, but I want to try. Will you commit with me as we pray to change directions and to believe in the one that's the captain of that ship? Father, we come to you this morning and we've got to see change. We've got to see something different in the homes in this country, in this community. We've got to see difference in marriages. And first, we've got to acknowledge the sin that's in our marriages and ask for forgiveness and to begin the heart change before we can change our marriage or our parenting or anything else. God, your grace is sufficient. I pray that you will pour out your grace upon this place. Holy Spirit, fall right now. May no man or woman leave this place as you are stirring without doing something about it and beginning the first step, taking that first step, whatever it might be. Make it clear, make it abundantly clear as we surrender our marriages, we surrender our families to be God-honoring, to be grace-filled, to be passionate, and to be full of people serving each other, and to be what the home's supposed to be. We surrender this to you, Jesus. Do only as you can in this moment. Amen.